Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew 23, verses 5 through 12. They do everything to be seen by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called rabbi by people. But you are not to be called rabbi, because you have one teacher, and you are all brothers and sisters. Do not call anyone on earth your father, because you have one father who is in heaven. You are not to be called instructors either, because you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, I feel compelled to pray for humility, but it makes me nervous to ask for it. Lord, I'm afraid of your humbling, for when you humble the proud, you do so with a strong hand. Help us to keep our eyes on you and not on ourselves. Help us to set our hearts on serving you by serving those around us. Help us to see each other as brothers and sisters, equal in your eyes. Help us not to set up false barriers between each other or set anyone on a pedestal. You are our teacher, and we are all still learning. You are our Father, and we are all your children. You are our instructor, and we are all equal in our critical need for your instruction. Help us to naturally care for one another as our nature becomes more like yours. Help us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, who came down from the throne of heaven to walk in the dust with us. For it's in you we live and move and have our being. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Thanks. So I want to play pretend this morning for just a moment. I want us to pretend that we don't know each other, okay, and that I'm a guest speaker here at this church. And what I want to do is introduce myself to you, okay? So if I were guest speaking at this church this morning, I would say, hi, my name is Darren Spoo. I grew up in Texas. By the way, I learned this weekend that TCU is in Texas. Did y'all know that? Did you? Where you were, just as a little side note. So I'm from Texas. I became pastor of the church that I pastor now when I was 29 years old. And now that I'm almost 47, that just sounds ridiculous the more I hear that. So I became pastor of the church I'm serving now when I was 29 years old. I've been there 17 years. I try to stay healthy, so I run 3 to 4 miles every day. And, oh, by the way, this year I wrote a book, hopefully the first of what will be a series of books called The Good Book, and it was released in April. It's doing really well. So now that's how I would normally introduce myself if I were a guest speaker. Okay, nothing out of the ordinary there. What if I were to introduce myself this way? Hi, my name is Darren Spoo, and I'm bald. Not just a little bald. Grotesquely bald. Look at this. I can't even stand to look at the videos on Sunday. I have used Rogaine before, but I'm too cheap. It might have worked, but I was just too cheap to continue. It's too expensive. Then I had a friend, a very affluent friend a couple of years ago, offer to buy me hair plugs. How about that? You know you're bald when a good friend says, we really need to do something about that. I'm willing to pay to cover up that kind of ugly on your head. Okay. I do run, but I have a really odd gait, so my feet are ugly enough as it is, but right now I have a huge callus on my big toe. I almost thought about taking off my shoe to show you. It's like a protuberance is what it is, just sticking out from this. It's like I have a sixth toe on this foot. Also, I have published a book, but you need to know that it took me 5 years to do it, and 10 publishers said no. In fact, one publisher pretty much said, we would rather publish nothing than to publish this, all right? Now, have you ever heard anybody introduce themselves to you like that? Probably not, okay? Probably not. It's so instinctive and so intuitive in our culture that we, when we introduce ourselves, only tell the best parts of who we are. Because we want people to know our wins, not our weaknesses. We want people to know our successes, not our scars. We want people to know that we're bold, not that we're bald, all right? We pretend a lot that life is all rosy and that we're all successful, and if we're not careful, it's so easy to do that in the church. And so we're talking about hypocrisy in these few weeks. And it's using a kind of pretend perfection to disguise what's really on the inside, our insecurities, our sins, and even our evils. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, where we're planting ourselves, he comments on hypocrisy, and we're still in that comment phase right now. He's talking about a group called the Pharisees, so if this morning's reading was a little bit odd, we'll put that in context. But then he goes from commenting on hypocrisy to confronting hypocrisy, and that is my ongoing prayer. Not that as we are talking about hypocrisy, you're thinking about other people, but Christ is confronting the hypocrisy, the evil and the insecurities in your own life. So here's what Jesus says. And by the way, if you want to know how to be a hypocrite, act as though you have all the answers so you can sit in judgment of other people. If you want to be a hypocrite, don't let your behaviors and your beliefs line up. In fact, don't even worry about that. It's okay to believe and behave in two different ways. And if you want to be a hypocrite, do everything to be seen by others. Jesus said, they do everything, and he's talking about the religious people of his day, to be seen by others. So I want you to put your life up against this statement, keeping in mind that Jesus uttered these words before Facebook was even conceived. Do you fall into the same trap I do sometimes? Sometimes as I'm doing something fun or interesting, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, this will look really good on social media. And this will make me look really good on social media. In fact, sometimes I do things pre-planning that this will make me look good in front of others. Now, the problem is not here being seen. The problem is not being seen by others. The problem is wanting to be seen by others. Because we all, to one degree or another, are visible. I'm in a very visible occupation, so are some of you. We're all visible to somebody. The problem is not being visible. The problem is desiring to be visible. And so what Jesus is going to confront us with today is a fundamental decision about who will be the audience of your life. And there are essentially two choices with this decision. It can be God or it can be other people. We have a fundamental choice. Will we live to serve the pleasure of God, or will we live to impress other people? Is the goal of our life to serve the Lord or to show off for other people? It's one or the other. You got to choose. So now here's the challenging part of what we're about to read and look at. Jesus chooses, or he talks about, he illustrates with some very culturally specific ideas, things that made sense kind of only in his day and only in a first century Jewish culture. So I'm going to do my best to translate them for us today. So these religious people, they do everything to be seen by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. Boy, if I've seen people do this once, I've seen them do this 1,000 times. What in the world does this mean? Okay, so you go back to Exodus and Deuteronomy. You go back to the Old Testament law. Moses gave the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it says there, tie these on your forehead and on your hands. And so really, it's a beautiful, beautiful tradition here that people would take Deuteronomy 6, the greatest commandment. They would write it on a scroll. They would roll it up and they would put it in a little leather container. And then they would take that container, and as they were praying, they would put that on their forehead and tie it with leather straps. And they would do the same on their arms. And it's a beautiful tradition, these phylacteries. It's a beautiful tradition saying, I want my mind to be influenced by the love of God. I want my hands to serve the love of God. So Jesus is not condemning the practice, okay? Because we need those reminders. And by the way, the tassels would be on the four corners of a garment. Now you would see them mostly on a Jewish prayer shawl, but on the four corners of the garment that would be worn there, your feet would brush against them and remind you to be a person of prayer. This again is another scriptural admonition to put those reminders. And by the way, it's beautiful too to think about whether I move north, south, east, or west, back, front, right, or left. I'm a person of prayer wherever I go. So Jesus does not condemn the culture behind it. He condemns the ostentation. So I carry in my pocket a reminder. I often carry a pocket piece just for me. So this is an 1817 penny. And I'm carrying it during 2017. 200 years, it's a 200-year-old penny. It's quite a bit larger than the pennies we have today. I carry this year as a reminder of mortality. Because every person who carried this in 1817 is now dead. Isn't that inspiring? That's the kind of inspiration I'm looking for. It's a reminder, though, that all those people and all their problems are a thing of the past. So you know what? My problems will pass away as well. It's just a little reminder. Jesus said it's good to have reminders, but remember what the phylacteries and the tassels are about. They're about reminding you to be spiritual, not reminding other people how spiritual you are. So how do we do this in our own day? How do we play the spiritual role? I think we do it primarily through words. So let me give you a couple of examples. It is not unusual, but I'm thinking about a specific example. A couple of years ago, had a repairman coming to the house. And like every third sentence, he was just dropping the F-bomb. Boom, boom, boom. They were blowing up all through our house as we were talking about the repair. And then he casually says, "What do you do?" "I'm a pastor at a church." And all of a sudden, his eyes appeared like an old cassette tape. He was rewinding and playing back all the F-bombs. And then he started saying things like, "Well, bless you. Amen. Hallelujah." You know, I said, "What church do you go to?" He said, "South Tulsa Baptist Church." I'm kidding. He didn't say that. I wish he would have said that. I'm going, "Dude, are you kidding me? I remember 30 seconds ago when you were dropping the F-bomb." You know, what offends me is not dropping the F-bomb as much as pretending that you don't talk that way now. You know, I would rather be around a sincere sinner than a surface saint any day. Okay. So now we do that in the church too. Okay. We kind of have to play spiritual and talk churchy language, especially when we're with other Christians or when you're around the pastor. So years ago, we had some friends over for dinner. This was when we first moved to Tulsa, and we've been friends with these people all these years. Our kids have grown up together. But we didn't know them that well. We're getting to know them. So before the meal, I wasn't thinking. And I said, "Hey, why don't you pray?" I said to the dad, "Why don't you pray?" Come to learn, he didn't really like to pray out loud, wasn't comfortable with that. And then to do it in front of your pastor. So he bows his head, and there's every religious cliche you could think of. And I think at one point he said, "Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like..." It was terrible. We said amen. I looked up and I go, "Dude, that was the worst prayer I have ever heard in my life." What would be so wrong with just saying, "God, I don't like praying out loud, and here my pastor has just asked me to do it." You know, we don't do that because we've got to pretend to be more spiritual than what we are. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for people who will just be themselves. And if they're sinners and they're struggling, that's okay. We're all in process. Don't enlarge the phylacteries and make your tassels longer. It's okay to be struggling. It's okay to not be perfect yet. It's okay to say, "I'm still in process and still trying to make progress." So don't pretend to be more spiritual than what you are. Then they loved the place of honor at the banquets and the front seats in the synagogues. How many of your kids still fight over shotgun no matter how old they are? I mean, I remember playing that when I was a kid and getting in the front seat next to mom and dad. But my kids, my daughter is almost 21 years old. And when we say, "Go get in the car," it is game on in our house. I mean, fighting, yelling, slamming the doors on fingers. I mean, it is nothing's out of bounds. There's something instinctive of us. We love to get the best seat. Now, this actually goes back to the ancient world. Listen to this. This is cool. When an ancient monarch would sit on his throne, he would be armed. So he would have his shield in one hand. He'd have his spear or his sword in his other hand. So he was protected on this side with a defensive weapon, but not so much on this side, on his right side. So he would place his best warrior, his most trusted advisor, the person that he could count on no matter what, and have them sit on their right side. You know what this does? This adds context to when we hear Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the God and Father in heaven. He's the most trusted. He's the strongest. He tells the truth. Okay. So why do we like important places to sit? And by the way, it's in the public square and it's in religious settings. By the way, it's kind of inverted in our day. We like to be at the head table at a public event, but when it comes to church, we like to sit at the back row. I'm seeing all you really spiritual people back there. Yeah. It kind of reverts just a little bit, doesn't it? Here's why I think we like the important seats. We want other people to think we're important. But we want to fool ourselves into thinking that we're important. We want to feel important. Because what it does is it disguises over that insecurity that we all feel of maybe I'm not anybody special. And by getting in the right seats, we feel important. Listen, by getting in the right seats, that will never satisfy you. Here's why. Because there's somebody always sitting a little bit closer than you. And you're always threatened by who might try to take your place. You will never find satisfaction by sitting in the big chairs. So let me confess to you a sin or an insecurity. I did release a book this year. And I go to Amazon.com about 83 times a day to see what the standing of that book is. Now, why do I do that? I do that because I want to know where I sit. I want to know where I stand. And, you know, as of yet, it has not brought me any satisfaction. But don't talk to me after the service because I got to do that again. I got to check it at 9:30 this morning. It's that insecurity. So Jesus says, you know, don't live your life to be seen by others. It's not about being super spiritual. It's not about your level of importance. And then it's not about titles. They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplace, and to be called Rabbi. Okay. So here's the deal. We love to label other people. We love the titles for ourselves. We love to have titles bestowed upon us. Again, it makes us feel like we are worth something. Can I tell you this? The world does not need another single celebrity. The world does not need another single celebrity. What the world really needs is someone different. Okay, listen, you are a soul. I don't know if anybody's told you that lately. You are a soul. And you were made by God. You were made for God. You were made to need God. And you were made to serve God. So instead of the world needing celebrities, what the world really needs is servants. And that's exactly where Jesus lands with this. If you want to be great, this is it. The greatest among you must be a servant. So I want you to think about this. Who are you really trying to please with your life? Are you trying to please life for an audience of people? Or are you trying to please God? If you want to please God, then it's not about celebrity status. It's not about looking spiritual. It's not about sitting in the right places. It's not about accumulating titles. It's about saying, how can I serve? And I love what Dallas Willard writes here. He says this. He said, churches should have seminars on how to bless other people. What would your life look like when you went into the day? You said, you know what, today I'm not going to impress anybody. I'm not going to try to impress. I'm going to try to bless every single person I run across. How would that change the way that you live your life? And by the way, that would change the way people view you. They would start saying, well, they don't look good necessarily, but they are good. If you set about to bless every single person in your life. So what I would invite you to do this week, just as a practical application, just try this on for size. Wake up every morning, say, God, today, I want to serve you and I want to serve other people. That's it. When I go to bed tonight, help me in some way to know that I've accomplished those two things. Because then by praying that, what you're doing is you're deciding what audience you're going to live to serve. It's not about impressing others. It's about pleasing God. It's not about showing off. It's about serving. And then I think Jesus gives a really great piece of counsel here on how to do that. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So let me give you something that I've tried. I'm not perfect at this yet. I'm making progress on it, but I'm telling you, this works. The next time you're in a meeting, and boy, something's eating you alive, you really have got to say something to set everyone right. Keep it to yourself. But the next time you're in that meeting and you don't want to speak up, speak up. It's when you have to say something that you need to be quiet, and it's when you're hesitant to speak, that's when you're actually ready to speak. You know what? If you want the spotlight, you don't need to be in the spotlight. But if you don't want the spotlight, you're probably ready. If you crave that title, you don't need that title. But it's when you don't want the title that you're probably actually ready to step into that role. I have this conversation at least 3 or 4 times every year before we select deacons. I'll have a candidate call me and say, I don't know if I'm worthy of the title of deacon. And I will say the same thing every time. You're now ready. By not wanting that title, you've got the right attitude. You're ready to serve instead of strut. So I want to give you that today. Would you decide who's going to be servant? That's you. Would you also decide who is going to be supreme in your life? And that is not you. That is to be Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. So I'm a big fan of Winston Churchill, but he was known to be somewhat of an egotist. There's a young lady named Violet Asquith who would know Churchill his entire life. She first met him when she was 19 years old. They were at a dinner party together. They were seated right beside each other, but he didn't turn and talk to Violet Asquith. Winston Churchill was talking to all the important people at the table, and she was sitting there watching him thinking, what an ego this man has. And finally, he turned to her, and he said, and what is your name? I thought about doing an English accent today. I just can't do it. What is your name? I'm Violet Asquith. How old are you? She said, I'm 19 years old. He said, and I am 32, but older than anyone who truly matters. And then he launched into an impromptu commentary on Isaiah. Cursed our mortality. Cursed ruthless time. How cruelly short is the allotted span of all we have to cram into it. We are worms. We are worms. And then he smiled. He said, but I am a glowworm. He really thought he was something. I want to invite you to glow this week. Not trying to please an audience of many, but an audience of one. Not about being supreme, but about serving. God, what can I do to serve you today? And what can I do to serve other people? Because I want to decide that I'm the servant. And only you are supreme. Only you are Savior. So you want to be a hypocrite? Do everything to be seen by others. You want to avoid hypocrisy? Live your life under the vision, under the eyesight of God. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. So God, talk about something that is countercultural and counterintuitive. We have been trained from a very early age to look good in front of others and present ourselves well. And some of that's fine and good. Some of it is just self-destructive and we don't see it yet. How many people have looked so impressive on the outside but are miserable on the inside and who are developing some destructive habits? Would you deliver us from that? Would you help us to live all of our lives under your pure vision? God, today, how do you want us to serve you? How do you want us to serve others? Help us to remember who is the servant and who is the Savior. If you've never had the opportunity, now's your moment. Friend, if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, if you've never given your life and your heart over to Him, now's that time, right now. It's a simple confession. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, thank you that you are Savior and that we have the privileged place of being your servant. Thank you that you sit at the right hand of the Father and we trust you And we trust your powerful life. Jesus, it's in your name that we offer our prayer. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.